जयं शुपाल परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर सदस्य श्रीमान अभय चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत गोस्वामी महर्षि प्रभुपाद की जयं नित्य लीला प्रविष्ट विश्वपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर सदस्य श्रीमान भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती महर्षि प्रभुपाद की आनंद गोड़ी वैष्णव वृंद की नामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम सहो श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोव गोविनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरी गोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की मायापुर धाम की भद्रपुरी धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की द्वारकापुरी धाम की गंगमाई की स्वयमाई की तुलसी देवी की भक्ति देवी की सामवेद भक्त वृंद की गौर और गौरी और गौरी और गौरी और गौरी और गौरी शिशि श्री गुरु और गौरी शिशिल प्रभुपाद नमाम विश्वपदाय कृष्ण प्रसाय भूतले श्रीमति भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी निधि नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाशाख्या ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाघया चक्षुरुन्मीलितां येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितां येन भूतले स्वयं रूपगदा मह्यं ददाति सुभदान्दिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवम् साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपदान् सहगणललितां श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवीं गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशधारिणी नमः ॐ विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रसाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिसिद्धान्त सरस्वती नामिने श्रीवर्षभानविदेवी दैदाय कृपाब्धये कृष्णसम्बन्धविज्ञानं दायिने प्रभवे नमः माधुर्योज्ज्वल प्रेमाद्य श्रीरूपानुगभक्तिदा श्रीगौरकरुणाशक्ति विग्रहाय नमोऽस्तु ते नमस्ते गौरवाणि श्रीमूर्तये दीनतारिणे रूपानुगविरुद्धाभसिद्धान्तद्वान्दहारिणे नमो गौरकिशोराय साक्षाद् वैराग्यमूर्तये विप्रलम्बरसाम्भोदे पदाम्बुजाय ते नमः नमो भक्तिविनोदाय सच्चिदानन्दनामिने गौरशक्तिस्वरूपाय ध्रुवनुगवराय ते गौराविर्भवभौमे स्वं निर्देष्टासि जनप्रिय वैष्णवा सार्वभौम श्रीजगन्नाथाय ते नमः वाञ्छकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां भावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नमो महावदन्याय कृष्णप्रेम प्रदाय ते कृष्णाय कृष्णचैतन्यनाम्ने गौरद्विषये नमः पञ्चतत्त्वात्मकं कृष्णं भक्तरूपस्वरूपकम् भक्तावतारं भक्ताख्यं नमामि भक्तशास्त्रियं हे कृष्णकरुणा सिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगल्पदे गोपेश गोपिका कान्द राधा कान्द नमोऽस्तु ते जयतां सुरगौपाङ्गो आनन्दमतीर्गदीमत्सर्वस्वपदाम्भोजौ राधा मदनमोहनौ दिव्यवृन्दारण्यकल्पद्रुमाद श्रीवद्रत्नाकरसिंहासनस्थौ श्रीश्रीराधाशीलगोविन्ददेवौ प्रष्टालिभिः सेव्यमानौ स्मरामि ശ്രീമന്ദ്രാസരസാരംഭി വംശീ വടതടസ്ഥിത കർഷാൻ വേണുസ്വനേർഗോപേർ ഗോപിനാഥ ശ്രീയേസ്തുനാ തപ്തകാഞ്ചന ഗൗരാംഗീ രാധേ വൃന്ദാവനേശ്വരി വൃഷഭാനുസൃതേ ദേവി പ്രണമാമി ഹരി പ്രിയേ. ജയ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭോ നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാം 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാം 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാം 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ. ഓം പാർത്ഥായ പ്രതിബോധിതം ഭഗവതാം നാരായണേന സ്വയം വ്യാസേന ഗ്രഥിതം പുരാണമുനിനം മധ്യേ മഹാഭാരതം അദ്വൈതാമൃതവർഷിണീം ഭഗവതീം അഷ്ടാദശാധ്യായിനീം അംബ ത്വാമനുസന്ധദാമി ഭഗവദ്ഗീതേ ഭവദ്വേഷിണീം. നമോസ്തു ദേ വ്യാസവിശാലബുദ്ധേ ഹുല്ലാരവിന്ദായ തപത്രനേത്ര യേന ത്വയാ ഭാരതതൈലപൂർണ പ്രജ്വാലിതോ ജ്ഞാനമയ പ്രദീപ പ്രപന്നപാരിജാതായ തോത്രവേത്രൈകവാണൈ ജ്ഞാനമുദ്രായ കൃഷ്ണായ ഗീതാമൃതദുഹേ നമ സർവോപനിഷദോ ഗാവോ ദുഗ്ധാ ഗോപാലനന്ദന പാർത്ഥോ വത്സ സുധീർഭോക്താ ദുഗ്ധം ഗീതാമൃതം മഹത് വസുദേവസുതം ദേവം കംസചാണൂരമർദനം ദേവകീ പരമാനന്ദം കൃഷ്ണം വന്ദേ ജഗദ്ഗുരും. ഭീഷ്മദ്രോണതട ജയദ്രഥജല ഗാന്ധാര നീലോൽപല ശല്യഗ്രാഹവതീ കൃപേണ വഹനീ കർണേന വേലാകുല അശ്വത്ഥാമാ വികർണ ഘോരമകര ദുര്യോധനാവർത്തിനി സോത്തീർണ ഖലു പാണ്ഡവൈരണ നദീ കൈവർത്തക കേശവ പാരാശര്യവചസ്സരോജമലം ഗീതാർത്ഥഗന്ധോൽക്കടം നാനാഖ്യാനകേസരം ഹരികഥാ സംബോധനാഭോദിതം ലോകൈ സജ്ജനഷൽപദൈരഹരഹപ്രേവീയമാനം മുദാ ഭൂയാദ്ഭാരത പങ്കജ കലിമല പ്രധ്വംസിന ശ്രേയസേ. മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കം ലംഘയതി ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം യം ബ്രഹ്മാവരുണേന്ദ്രരുദ്രമരുദസ്ത്വന്വന്തി ദിവ്യൈസ്തവൈർ വേദൈർ സാംഗപദൈർ ക്രമോപനിഷദൈർ ഗായന്തി യം സമഗാഃ ധ്യാനാവസ്ഥിത തദ്ഗതേന മനസാ പശ്യന്തി യം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാന്നം ന വിദുസുരാസുരഗണൈ ദേവായ തസ്മൈ നമഃ.
So, when we were talking about this Purushottama Yogam, Krishna mentions there that in the 17th verse, Uttama Purushastanya Paramaya Paramatmehi Udhahrudam Yo Loga Trayam Avishya Bhavati Avyayam Ishwara. That was the verse, isn't it? 17th verse. We have seen that what is Kshara-Purusha and what is Akshara-Purusha and then what is Purushottama. Three different levels of realization, isn't it? Kshara-purusha is what we are normally in our ahankaram. In the stage of jiva or ahankaram state, we are Kshara-purusha. When we realize that Akshara-purusha level, by then we have more or less freed from all our previous vasanas that we have brought with us from the earlier life. That's gone away. That is the Akshara-purusha realization. That means, as you remember, Akshara-purusha is primarily remaining in the dormant state, in the sushupti, in the deep sleep state, isn't it? So, in the deep sleep, Akshara-purusha is present but covered by vasana, karana shariram. What is called karana shariram, karana body, or causal body it's called. When that vasanas have been taken out in the karana shariram, Akshara-purusha realization naturally comes. That means the realization of the self, in other words, aham brahmasmi level. Once it goes further from that, and then we see that our separated existence is taken out, and what remains is only Krishna in the creation. That means in every living entity, in every creation, throughout the creation, it's only Krishna who is present, nobody else. That realization, which is a step beyond the Akshara-purusha, is the Uttama-purusha stage, which Krishna calls it as the Purushottama, Uttama-purusha or Purushottama state. So, in three levels, we have to realize. First realization is in the Akshara-purusha stage. When we identify with the body and our ahankar, at least not even in the body, even beyond the body, to think that the ahankaram is operating. To realize that ahankaram is operating in the form of jiva, in the form of jiva. When we go beyond than that, then the Akshara-purusha stage comes. So we have mentioned there that the last Sunday, that Narayana Kavacham verse, important thing to remember. What is the verse? Yadahi Bhagavan Eva. What's the verse? Yadahi Bhagavan Eva Vastuda Sadasatchayat Satye Naneva Yas Sarve Yantunasha Upadravaha. This realization. This is Purushottama Yoga. Yadahi Bhagavan Eva. There is only Krishna existing in the creation. Vastuda Sad Asatchayat Sat Asat. All everything is Krishna. Satye Naneva Yas Sarve. Knowing this truth and in that way, yatu nasha vadravaha, let me not experience any disturbance from anyone. Because once we realize that Krishna is present in everyone, there is no possibility of ragadvesham there, isn't it? How can you have ragadvesham with Krishna? That will not exist. That is why that verse is spoken. So, and to bring that, to see others without ragadvesham inside that, how will that possible? That is what that Narayana Kavacham is all about. That Kavacham or sheath or armor, what we spoke about is that. To put that armor, Idahi Bhagava Aneva, Vastudasa Dasachayan, Satyenanena Yasarve, Yadunasha Upadravaha. If this is all truth, that is how the verse says, Satyenanena Sarve. If it is truth, if Krishna is only present in, Krishna is only the person who is present in everyone, then Yadunasha Upadravaha, let Krishna protect me from everything. There is no question of any attack or any kind of problem from anyone else in this world. So, when we see that in that way, when we hear, when we see anything, and that is Purushottama, that is but you can say that, that is right, but you can say that, but it doesn't happen to us. What can we do? So, that is why it's mentioned in that verse. This is the truth. You see? This is the truth. And truth is something you have to accept it. Not by sadhana you will get it. Sadhana will be a long, long, long haul. When will that happen? By doing sadhana. That is Satyenanene Sarve. Yaduna Shubhadra. So through sadhana, it is not going to happen very easily. That misunderstanding we have to give up. It's a misunderstanding that through sadhana I will get it. Rather than that, important thing is that is why it's mentioned there. Satyenanena sarve. This is satyam. Accept it. That is the instruction. Accept that and behave in that way. Then there won't be trouble. Satyenanena sarve yadunasho upadravaha. Then there won't be any upadravam. Upadravam means a problem from others in anybody in this world. So, satyam, you cannot practice it. Sadhana is practicing, isn't it? Sadhana is nothing but practicing. Like our sadhana is chanting Hare Krishna. The sportsman's sadhana is, tennis player's sadhana is 2-3 hours, 4 hours in the morning, up and down, hitting the ball. That is his sadhana. A hockey player is his sadhana. Football player is his sadhana. That's all sadhana. Our devotee's sadhana is to chant the holy name. But satyam, the truth, you can't really get it by sadhana and practice. This is the important thing. Unless this is understood, this trick behind it. Satyam is by accepting that it happens. So accepting is more important than anything else. That's the main thing. So just like in the traditionally, the children tell the parents that you find a good wife for me, the boy or the girl, husband or wife. And then they have been found and the arrangement has been made and they got married. And after that, the day they got married, they have accepted each other, husband and wife, isn't it? There was nobody was, the husband was not chanting the wife's name or wife was not chanting the husband's name that you are my husband or you are my wife. That didn't happen. It just happened by acceptance only. In the same way, this principle, that Purushottama Yogam principle, is more of acceptance rather than practice or than sadhana. So, so that is what Bhagavatam is saying. Whole creation is Krishna. Accept it that way. Whole creation is Krishna. Uddhava also says this, that sanuscharishnu sacharam. Charam and acharam, moving and non-moving, here in this creation, there is only Krishna. There is only Krishna. Nothing else except Sachidam. This is the truth. If you can accept it, it can happen now, right now. Satyenanena sarve yadunasho upadravaha. So, all upadravam, all problems will leave at that moment. Problem is that our own mind, that creates all the problem, isn't it? And through this understanding, everything is Krishna. This understanding, everything Krishna is present there. All these problems will go. And unfortunately, what happens is that we hear these things, but we forget. As soon as we start our vyavaharam, isn't it? So, in order to avoid that forgetfulness, you have to practice. It's not by practicing that you are getting it. It's by accepting it that you are getting it, but because you tend to forget it, you have to keep on talking about it and continuously bring it back into your own thoughts. And Krishna mentions that if Krishna's grace is there, then this smriti, remember Krishna mentioned before, matta smriti, that smriti will stay if Krishna's grace is there. And if when we need it, Krishna will give that understanding at the time when we need it. So, Purushottama will come in front of us. And asammodaha, and at that time, this modatvam, maudhyam, what Krishna mentioned previously. In one of the verses, he said, modaha. One of those verses, he said, modaha. That maudhyam will leave us at that time. Maudhyam will leave us at that time. So, Vishyandi Jnana Chakshusha. Krishna is saying that. Ulkramando Sidam Vabi Bunjanam Va Gunanyvidam Vimudha Nanu Vashyandi Pashyandi Jnana Chakshusha. That Vimudhatvam will go and proper vision will come to us. Pashyandi Jnana Chakshusha. Jnana Chakshusha. The proper eyes to see things in the proper way. That will happen. Isn't it? So Krishna is saying here, once you have known that Purushottama, Uttama, Yasma Charam Atidoham, the Uttama Purushastanyam Paramatmedi Udahata, Yo Logatraya Mahavishya, Vibhatavyam Ishwara. So, in all ways, in every way, he has come to know about Purusha. Purusha is only Krishna. That Purusha's different aspects we have come to know. Akshara Purusha, Akshara Purusha, and the Uttama Purusha. All the three things. So Sarvajnaha means that person who has studied all the Shastram, how will he remain in this world? Sarvajnatva means, for example, what is Sarvajnatva means all knowing. Sarvajnatva means all knowing. All knowing means, for example, the pot has been made out of clay. And pot has been made out of clay, and a different things were manufactured with clay. Pot was made, and so many other toys were made, and some deities were made. Everything was made out of clay. And it has been spread, kept in front of you, and was asking, all of this is made of clay. And one who has known clay, all of it is clay only. Isn't it? Just like something which is made out of gold, you make jewelry with gold. The chain, the bangles, the ring, the anklets, and the belt. So many things you can make with the gold. The crown, all of them. But one who knows about gold, for him it is gold. Everything is gold. And only we have given importance to Namarupam. That's called Namarupam. Namarupam means name and form. A particular name for the gold, it's on the neck, we call it as the chain. And if it is on the arm, it's called the bangles on the hand. If it's on the finger, it's the ring. If it's on the feet, it's the anklets. But everything is, basically it is gold. But because it is in different places, in different forms, Namarupam, name and form has changed. Name and form has changed. And therefore, our eyes are on the Namarupam. Our eye is on the Namarupam. But once you have known the gold, you have known everything. Once you have known gold, you know gold is the main element which has made everything. So, just like once you have known the clay, you have known all the everything what has been manufactured from the clay. Whether it's deity or whether it's a small pot or whether it's a huge pot, whatever it may be. Similarly, all our belief in all these names and forms, the adhishtanam or the basis of everything is this consciousness, chaitanyam or bodham, awareness. That is the basis in which everything is happening. What Krishna is saying here is that once you have touched that bodham, consciousness, and realized that awareness inside, then you have known everything. You don't have to study all other subjects separately. Just like now we are trying to study so many different subjects in different ways, isn't it? Upanishad's point is, if you know the basis in which all this is happening, the vastu which is present in everything, that just like the gold is present in all the objects, isn't it? In all the different jewelry, what's manufactured from the gold. Similarly, clay that is present in all the different items that's been manufactured with clay. Once you know the gold, pure gold, then you know the gold is in different forms and names and forms. Clay is in different names and forms. Similarly, this awareness, consciousness is in different names and forms. This is the principle. That's what mentions here. ഏക വിജ്ഞാനേന സർവ വിജ്ഞാനം ഭവന്തി. ഉപനിഷത് സേസ് ഏതത് വിജ്ഞാനേ സർവ വിജ്ഞാനം ഭവന്തി. ഇഫ് യു ഹാവ് നോൺ ദാറ്റ് യു ഹാവ് ഗോട്ട് എവറിഥിങ് എൽസ്, യു ഹാവ് ഗോട്ട് എവറിഥിങ്. ദിസ് ഈസ് ശ്രുതി, വേദം സേസ് ദിസ്. സോ നോയിങ് ദിസ് വൺ തിങ് എവറിഥിങ് എൽസ് ഈസ് നോൺ, ആൻഡ് ബിലോങ് വിത്ത് ദാറ്റ് ഓൾ അദർ പ്രോബ്ലംസ് ഓൾസോ റിസോൾവ്, ആൻഡ് ദാറ്റ് ദാറ്റ് വിൽ ഗോ എവേ, ദാറ്റ് വിൽ ഗോ എവേ. സോ സോ those who have reached that stage, those who have reached that, realize that, touch the very heart of it, that means bodham, consciousness or awareness, Gaudapada Acharya calls them as niravarana drishti. That is the name given to them, niravarana drishti. What does that mean? Niravarana drishti means their vision is not covered by anything. Our vision is covered, isn't it? We can see that our vision is covered. We see somebody as a friend, somebody as an enemy, somebody as prime minister, somebody as a ordinary man on the street. This is all covered vision, that is polluted with our ragam, dvesham, vasana inside. So to remove all that, when we have lost all that covering and seeing purely as a atma, krishna awareness there in every living entity, in everything in this world, they are called Niravarana Drishti. Gaudapada Acharya wrote this famous commentary on Mandukya Upanishad. It is called Mandukya Karika. You can buy big book, big huge commentary on that. It's very famous, that Gaudapada Acharya. So he is Shuga Brahmarshi's direct disciple. So Sudeva Goswami's direct disciple. So he wrote that, and he calls these names there Niravarana Drishti. Niravarana Drishti means that who has no coverage in his vision, that is not covered. Our vision is all covered. Everyone in this world is covered, yeah, except the realized soul. Their vision is not covered. So in their vision, the cover has gone, the coverage has gone, because they see that in the creation there is only one vastu, that is Krishna. So they give a good, Gaudapada Acharya gives a good example for that. He's asking the question that in the mathematics, how many numbers are there? He asked the question. So you can't say, can you? How many numbers are there? Can anybody say how many numbers are there in mathematics? Even computers can't answer that question. That's called Maya. Gaudapada Acharya's way of expressing is like that. He says, you can't say how many numbers are there in mathematics, and that is called Maya. Why? As far as he is concerned, there's only one number. That's one. Everything else is two ones have joined together and became two. Three ones have joined together and became three. But in reality, there is only one number. So to see that, that is called proper vision. There's only one. And to that you are adding so many things or taking out so many things. In this way, you are changing the whole thing. So whether it is 2, 3, 4, 5, all of them is nothing but 1. And if you join 1 to 1, it becomes 2. Then you add another 1, it becomes 3. And 1, 4. So, and we are not even getting that. We are finding that difficult, isn't it? So, even though there's only one number, there's only one, we still feel that there's so many numbers, isn't it? Everything is one only. And so if you, one puts another dress and stand in the form of two. It puts another dress and stands like three. It puts another dress and stands like four. So similarly, whatever dress it puts it on, it's only one. It's only one. So that is why Upanishad says ekam evam advitiyam brahmam neha nanasti kinchana. Ekam eva advitiyam neha nanasti kinchana. There is only one vastu here. There is no two things. Ekam evam advitiyam. There is no two. Neha nanasti kinchana. This person who has known this, he is the one in solitude. You see, earlier Krishna spoke about solitude, isn't it? Remember, in the Krishna says in the 13th or some, or isn't it? Yeah. He mentions there, Vivikta Desha Sevitvam Aradir Jana Samsadi. That's the words. Amanitvam Adambitvam, and that goes on like that. Krishna says, Adhyalpa Jnana Nityatvam Tattva Jnanartha Darshanam. Edal Jnanam Idi Proktam Ajnanam Tadananyatha. There we were discussing about that. Krishna mentions about solitude there. What is solitude? Solitude is this, not going and sitting in the forest alone or in a cave alone, to realize this, that here there is only one vastu. If there is only one, then that is solitude. That realization is solitude. You see? Because when there is two, you're not in solitude, isn't it? You think, oh, he's there or she's there or something else is there. But when there is only one vastu in the creation, when you realize it, then you are in solitude. There is nobody else. This is proper solitude. Proper solitude. Egameva adhidiyam. Yeah. Egameva adhidiyam idu guru vakyevasu nishchayam. And ekad, eshad, ekandam ityuktam. Namameva na sanatanam. That it's always, even if you go into forest, you cannot become feel solitude. You will still feel, you go to the forest, you will see the animals, the birds, you may not see the human species. That is also not even solitude. Real solitude is, Krishna uses the word ekandam. Ekandam. Ekandam means that oneness, you experience all the time. That manittam, adambittam, you go through that verse, you will say, Ajaryobhasanam, Shaujam, Sairyam, Alpa Vinigraham, Indriyarteshu Vairagyam, Anahangaram Evaja, Janma Mrityu Jaravyadi, Dukha Doshana Darshan, Asakti, Anabishwanda, Putradhara Grihadishu, Nityanja Samajitratam, Ishta Anishtova Vatishu, Maijananya Yogena, Bhakti Avya Vijarini, Vivikta Desha Sevitam, Aradra Janasam. That Vivikta Desha Sevitam is this, that to remain in solitude all the time, and that is this realization, that is this realization. Even if you go and sit in the temple or if you go and sit in the forest, it won't become. Knowing that there is only one vastu in this creation and realizing that is solitude. That means even if you are in the middle of millions of people or you are still alone. Even in the middle of millions of people you are still alone. Because as far as he is concerned, there is only one vastu. Therefore, he won't lose that solitude at any time. This is realized solitude, properly realized solitude. Ashtavakra you heard about. Ashtavakra was a great jnani, wasn't it? Great jnani he was. So, he says to Janaka, Devahari, the Ashtavakra Gita, you can read this. So, he says to Janaka, you are sitting in the middle of so many people. In the assembly, and Janaka says there is not so many people. He says, "Aho janasamohebi advaidam pashyado mama aranya ivasamrutam kvaratim karavamyaham." He says to him that even when I am sitting in the middle of so many people, I feel the same peace. As though I am sitting in the deep forest. I feel the same peace while in the deep forest. Because there is no second vastu here. There is nobody second. Only one vastu is everywhere. Which is present in me. That means that Purushottama Yogam realization. That you see that there is no separately another thing. Existing from, independent from you. Once you have recognized another vastu independent of you. Then fear will develop. Bhayam dvidiyal abhinivesha tasyal. Kavi Maharshi says in the Bhagavadam. From dvandvam, fear will come. Vaidam, fear will come. So, what he says here, actually only I am existing, he said, me. And that vastu which is in me is dressed up in so many different forms and present here. But, once you have known this, he says, he is sarvavit. Sarvavit, he knows everything. He has got the clue or the essence of everything. Essence of everything. Moola vastu, the basic thing he has got it. And he knows that with that vastu only, everything else has been created. The vastu that's been used to create me is the same vastu that's been used in others' creation as well. And except that vastu, nothing else exists here. And the person who is worshipping will also be dissolved in that. First, initially, Charapurusha stage is everything different, isn't it? Everybody is different. Because Ahankaram says to us, in the Dvaita mode, we see everyone separate. Name, form, designations and all other identities we give. That is Charapurusha stage. At Charapurusha stage, you have realized who you are. That nothing to do with the body. Nothing. And Purushottama stage is everything is the same vastu. What is inside? No difference at all. So, then after realizing this, there is no sadhana. That realization is important. So, his life itself is bhakti then. After that stage, whatever he does is bhakti in that realization. Swami Ramadas used to say like this, that the river has gone and joined the ocean. Somebody asked Ramadas about that. Then once you have joined the, you have known what used to be known, and you have gone and joined the ocean. Is there any sadhana to be done afterwards? Ramadas says to him that although river has gone and flown and joined the sea, ocean, still the river is flowing, isn't it? Ganga river has gone and joined the ocean. Ganga is still flowing there. Similarly, as long as the body is there, as long as the body is there, this flow will continue till the body drops away. Till the body drops away. This is the principle. Till that body drops, it is difficult. It will stay in that way. So, similarly, as Krishna says, that till we body goes away, we have to chant the holy name also. And in Ramadas' Swami Ramadas' ashram, if you go, you will see that there was no photographs or anything, and there was no deities, anything, but everybody was chanting the holy name. Everybody was chanting the holy name. So when they asked Ramadas, where is Ramachandra? You're all chanting the holy name. He says, this is everything here is only Ramachandra. What else is there? He said. That was his realization from inside, speaking from that level. So you are asking about that Ramachandra who was born as the son of Dasharatha millions of years ago. But we are talking about that Ramachandra who is present in everyone's heart. And who alone exists, nothing else. Who alone exists, nothing else. So that is the difference between sadhana bhakti and parabhakti. In sadhana bhakti stage, you will see about Ramachandra who appeared in this world millions of years ago and who lived in Ayodhya, who went back to the spiritual world and took all devotees with him. That's one realization. You similarly about Krishna also, you will remember like that 5,000 years ago he appeared and he left the planet and went back to his abode, spiritual world. But our Krishna, in the Bhagavad Gita, this Krishna, what Krishna himself is talking about is Purushottama realization is right here today in this world, in every living entity, present as the Aham Atma Gudakesha, Sarva Bhudashayastida, Aham Adhyanja Madhyanja Bhudanam Andamevacha. That realization. That is proper. Otherwise, the Krishna's appearance and disappearance all becomes just a history. Nothing more than that. So, it is based on that, and when we, that is parabhakti. That realization of Krishna here, present in everyone, all the time, as pure consciousness, as awareness inside, and understanding Krishna in that way and realizing Krishna, that is parabhakti. Remembering Krishna has 5,000 years appeared in Vrindavanam, who spent 125 years in this world, went back to the spiritual world. That realization is in the sadhana stage. In the sadhana stage. So, when we, in the parabhakti stage, when we relate with another jiva, another living entity, in the way Krishna has spoken, that is the deity worship in that level. Deity worship in that level. So, that is what Kapila Maharshi says in the Bhagavatam. You notice that? Athamam sarveshu bhudeshu. That's an important verse. To know Kapila Maharshi's heart. Where is the heart? How Kapila Maharshi put it to us. You see? Athamam sarveshu bhudeshu. Kridalayam. Then? Maitreya abhinena chakshusha. He says. Isn't it? So that is realization. Athamam sarveshu bhudeshu bhudalpanam kridalayam. Arhaye dhanamanabhyam. Maitreya abhinena chakshusha. Perfect realization. That if we can't see Krishna's presence in other living entities, simply always thinking, sticking to this understanding, everything is in the temple, everything is in the deity, nowhere else. Because you can easily get stuck in that. People will get stuck in that. They won't move further from that. They will not cultivate the higher understanding. That is why that is put it in the third level of realization. Kanishtadhikari stage, that is. Kanishta stage. To think like that. Wherefore, whereas Kapila Maharshi is correcting us, Athamam sarveshu bhudeshu bhudalpanam kridalayam arhayed dhana manabhyam maitreya abhinena chakshusha. To see in all living entities Krishna's presence, and arhayed dhana manabhyam, to offer them all respects and all what will please them to do for them. Maitreya abhinena chakshusha. Seeing them that they are not different from Krishna. Krishna is there in them. That realization. So, Krishna says here, that means in everyone, in every living entity, even the snake and the scorpion and all other living entities which even gives pain to us, even in them to see this, that Krishna's presence. You remember in the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Sri Narada Maharshi says to Yudhishthira, that Yudhishthira, you can't even take food till you feed all the other living beings in the house. You have to find every spider, every mice or every cat or dog or whatever you have at home. A householder is meant to feed all of them before he takes his own food. To that extent, to recognize that, to develop this understanding. That is why it's spoken like that. That arhaye dhanamanabhyam maitreya abhinena chakshusha. So, that then it will happen, Krishna says here, and you may think that bhagavad bhavam, that mood, what you have created, others will look at it and say, oh, this person is too compassionate, too much of mercy towards others. But it is not mercy or compassion. What it is that when the jnani is realized to souls, when they see the living entities, practically they can only see Krishna there. They can't see that it may be moving, it may be not be moving. But still there is only Krishna present there. Krishna only present there. This is a very Purushottama Yogam's perfection, that is. To see that there is only Krishna in everywhere. That is the way to avoid ragadvesham. If this realization happens, there won't be any ragadvesham. And Krishna says in the second chapter, isn't it? Ragadvesha vimukteistu vishayan indriyaischaran. It's not so easy to get to that stage. Because all what we have got is ragadvesham, nothing else inside us. And it's not easy to take it out from there. But that is why Krishna is repeatedly stressing this point. And here, Krishna is saying here, that jnani will only see Krishna in every living entity. Nothing else. And that is the next verse. Which is 18th
we have seen.
Yes. Yasmad 18th was Yasmad Kshramatitoham Aksharad Apichottama Atosmi Loke Vedeja Pratita Purushottama. That verse spoke about the three levels. Yasmad Kshramatitoham. Kshram is the lowest one. Superior to that is Aksharad Abhijottama. Akshara realization, Akshara Brahma, Akshara Purusha. Atosmi loke vevedecha. We talked about that. Atosmi loke vevedecha. Lokam is, here it is mentioned as the world. But actually it is Shruti and Smriti it is referring to. Remember that? Shruti and Smriti. And that is Purushottama. That is Purushottama. That we spoke about the last Sunday. Now, let's look into the 19th verse. Yomam evam asammutho janadi purushottamam sa sarvavit bhajadimam sarvabhavena bharata yomam evam asammutho janadi purushottamam sa sarvavit bhajadimam Sarvabhavena Bharata. That is it. What we said, Krishna said, that once you have come to that Purushottamam realization, what we spoke about now, Yomam evam asammutho janadi Purushottamam. He knows Purushottama. He is not a mutha anymore. What else? Sa sarvavid bhajati mam. And he will not look at this person and that person with different. It's only Krishna who is present everything. Sarvabhavena Bharata. Sarvabhavena Bharata. Whomever knows me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, without doubting is the knower of everything. He therefore engages himself in full devotional service to me, O son of Bharata. So here, Asamodha. Asamodha means one who is not a Modha. One who is not a Modha. In other words, Asamodha means this coverage has gone in him. Remember the coverage you were talking about. Gaudavadacharya says it is Niravarana Drishti. Niravarana Drishti means Avaranam has gone. Covering has gone. In our vision, it's not anymore tainted with any kind of vasana. No ragam, no dvesham, no vasana there. Therefore, what you are seeing is the truth. That means only Krishna's presence in everything. And so, this coverage has gone. Avaranam has gone. Or whose Drishti dosham, that means the fault in their vision, that fault has gone, and who knows Krishna as Purushottama, who is present in everyone. So, such a person, Krishna is saying here that he knows me properly then. Then he knows me properly because they worship me in that way, in every form. So, therefore, for him, Krishna is not anymore in one particular form. Many places, in many forms, Krishna is realized. Krishna is realized. Even among the gross objects in this world, Stulam, he will realize Krishna. Inside, he is experiencing Krishna all the time. And this Yoga Vasishtam, Vasishtha Maharshi mentions this. Because a jnani, a realized soul, he is worshipping not only Krishna with one way, when he experiencing distress in life, all kinds of problems coming to him, distress coming to him, even in that state, he is experiencing samadhi, which is very, very higher state, isn't it? When you are in total distress, to be in Krishna consciousness, then to experience Krishna is not easy. Our Krishna consciousness has gone like this. It can go. A little pain in the body or something goes wrong in life, everything goes, is it not? But here, Yoga Vasishtha, Vasishtha Maharshi is saying to Ramachandra that this person who has realized Purushottama, even when in the deep distress happens to him, even in that deep stress, distress, he is in a samadhi state. He is in a samadhi state. So, that means when we are put into distress, you have to accept that as Krishna's grace to come to that state. It's not easy. It's not going to happen overnight because of our identification with the body, first thing. That's the main problem is this, identification with the body. So long as there is identification with the body, this will not happen. This will not happen. That's why all the Acharya says, doesn't matter who it is, first come out of the body. Then we can talk all other Vedantam later. But come out of the body first. And so long as you are within this body, identifying with the body, all other higher philosophy, whatever we are discussing, will not have any impetus or not have any impact on us. So such a person, Krishna is saying here, he is seeing that because his mudhada has gone, maudhyam has gone, therefore, he is seeing everywhere there is only Krishna is existing, nothing else. And why is that? Sarvavid. He says here, that bhajati maam, he says, sarvavid bhajati maam. After knowing that, his relationship with the world is, every living entity is Krishna's presence there. Sa sarvavid bhajati maam, and they are worshipping me in that way. Not as deity in the temple, but as recognizing Krishna's presence in everything in the creation. That is what it is. And whatever thoughts comes in, with all that mood, he worships me, Krishna says. Sarva bhavena, all bhavam. Sarvabhavena Bharata. Krishna says there, isn't it? Sarvabhavena Bharata. Sa sarvavid bhajati maam sarvabhavena Bharata. What does that mean? It means all the thoughts that's coming in his mind, whatever way it comes, it's all is offering to me. In all the thoughts, Krishna is present, in other words. Sa sarvavid bhajati maam sarvabhavena Bharata. That is that perfection of the Purushottama realization. Then he cannot separate anyone from Krishna. He cannot separate anybody from Krishna. In our dvandvam, in duality, what do we see? You can see how we see. We are thinking that Krishna is in the temple only. We can't recognize Krishna's presence in anyone else. We are always thinking, oh. And again, we have classified all these karmis and devotees and all these various classifications, all we have made, isn't it? And we are living on that, thinking that, oh, I'm perfect, situated like that. But that is nowhere near to perfection. And whatever bhavam, that sarva bhavena bhavena, whatever bhavam mood comes inside, that he relates to me through that. In every way, he is always related, connected with me. And the extreme example is that what Krishna has spoken to Arjuna about this. He says to him, you worship me through fighting the war. Is it not? You can see. By your devotional service to me is by fighting the war. For my sake, you have to fight this war, he says. That is that relationship. It's the extreme case to kill someone to please Krishna, but not to get affected by that. Krishna was not affected, wasn't it? Same way, he wants Arjuna also to feel the same thing in the battlefield. Not to get affected. That not thinking that they are my enemy, he is my friend in that way. But doing that, what he has to do as a Kshatriya, to please Krishna. And in that way, remaining in the Krishna state of realization. That's what he's saying here. So, worship means it's not only just getting flowers and offering to the deity. That's not only the worship is. Because if Arjuna's duty, Arjuna's duty means dharmam, not duty, dharmam as a kshatriya, is that he has to fight. He has come to that, Krishna has put him into that state. He has to fight. And Krishna says to him, you are on that spot now, you have to fight as a kshatriya. That's your duty, because Krishna's point is that adharma must go. And kshatriyas have to do their work, what they have to do. And Krishna is saying, I'll be working through you. That's all it is. You are nothing actually here. He mentioned this to Arjuna. So, if you think that, you can act independently based on your own understanding, then it is ahankaram, Krishna says. Look at Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that in the 18th chapter. If you look later on, it will come. 18th chapter, if you look at the verse 59, he says to Arjuna, after saying all this whole Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says to Arjuna, yad 59, yad ahangaram ashritya na yotsya idi manyase mithyesha vyavasayaste prakritistvam niyongshyati. That's it. Yad ahangaram ashritya. Ahangaram ashritya means thinking that you are the jiva, you are this body, identifying with yourself, and not accepting me, what I have told you, na yotse midi manyase. And you say that I will not fight, because Arjuna had his own logic, isn't it? If you do not act according to my direction and do not fight, then you will be falsely directed. Krishna says, mithyesha vyavasayaste. Mithyesha vyavasayaste. That this is all false, and vyavasayaste, you lose your determination. By your nature, you will have to be engaged in warfare. Krishna says to him, prakritim swam niyongshadi. If you say that you won't do it, prakriti will do it. You will be forced to do it. So this is that important point. That what Krishna is saying to Arjuna is that you can't escape. All of us are in the same situation in this world. Krishna has put us in different situation. We have to do what we have to do. Can't run away from that. That has to be done. It's better to get that done and get the vasanas out from inside. That won't go otherwise. That is what Krishna is saying here. Then, yeah, the ahankaram ashritya, he says there, isn't it? Ahankaram ashritya. So, ahankaram, that verse in that 59th verse, what he mentions there, yad ahankaram ashritya na yotse midi manyase mithyesha vyavasayase prakritim swam niyokshari. Prakriti will do its job. Prakriti knows how to make you, force you to do it. Even if you say, I won't do it. Prakriti knows how to do it. Krishna is saying to him. And he mentions also in the next verse, if you look, you will see there Subhava jena kaunteya nibhadda svena karmana kartum icchasi yan mohan karishyasi avashopitat. Same thing repeated in a different way. He says, Subhava jena kaunteya. Subhava jena kaunteya nibhadda svena karmana kartum icchasi yan mohan karishyasi avashopitat. Under illusion, you are now declining to act according to my direction. But compelled by the work born of your own nature, you will act all the same, O son of Kunti. That is, we have no freedom in any of these things. This is the point. We haven't got any freedom to. If our ahankaram is what dictating to us, do like this, this is the better thing to do, or thinking about it and not acting in the proper way at the time. Ahankaram it is. It's a false ego inside saying to us. So, Krishna is saying, Sobhava jena kaunteya nibadda svena karmana. This Sobhavam, what is this Sobhavam? Sobhavam is Vasana. Vasana is the Sobhavam. Your Sobhavam is your Vasanas inside. That Vasana, Kshatriya Vasana, is there to fight. And that is why we mentioned before also that you ask Arjuna to do the deity worship, put him as a pujari at the temple. What will happen? It won't work. He cannot do it. But you can't blame Arjuna for that. That is his Sobhavam has come with him. So these things are serious things. Karmam, Vasana, Sobhavam, all these things. Without taking that into account, if you analyze situations, you can see that you'll come to wrong conclusions also. That is why Krishna is keep repeating this. Sobhava jena kaunteya nibadda svena karmana. And kartum echasi en mohad karishyasi avashopitat. So karmam nibhadda svena karmana. Through karmam you are bound. Through karmam you are bound. And karmam is depends on what? Subhava. Subhava jena kaundaya. From subhavam is born what? Karmam. Karmam is born from subhavam. And through karmam you are bound. Through karmam you are bound. Nibhadda svena karmana. Kartum nechasi yan mohad. But due to illusion, you try to give up the karmam and walk away from that and think that kartum ichasi, I will do what I think is right. Nechasi yan mohad. Karishyasi avashopitat. You won't be able to do it, Krishna is saying. You will be avasha. Avasha means helpless. Karishyasi. Helplessly, you will be forced to do it. Karishyasi avashopitat. He says there, isn't it? So therefore, Krishna is saying here that how should I worship Krishna? That he mentions in that chapter, if you look in the two verses before. 56, if you look, you'll see. So karmani abhisada குர்வனோ மத் விபாஷய மல் பிரசாதால் அவாப்னோதி சாஸ்வதம் பதம் அவ்யயம். The 56th verse, he says here, that sarva karmani api sada kurvano mad vipashraya mad prasadad avapnodi shashvadam padam avyayam. Though engaged in all kinds of activities, my pure devotee under my protection reaches the eternal and imperishable abode by my grace. That means one who is doing karmam, sarva karmani api sada kurvano mad vipashraya, one who has taken Krishna shelter and under protection of Krishna, he executes his karmam according to that vasana. Sarva karmani abhi sada. He may be doing all kinds of karmam in this world, but still mal prasadad avapnodi shashvadam padam avyayam. By Krishna's grace he will reach the destination. That is what Krishna is saying here. So this So you can see there, Krishna uses the word Shashwadam, isn't it? Shashwadam means Shashwadam Shandi. Shashwadam Shandi. Shandi means that peace, Shandi inside, which is eternal. So, by all our life in this world, karma, all our movements in life, Sarva Karmani Abhisada, by all our activities, Sarva Bhavena, in all our thoughts and deeds and everything, Sarva Bhavena Bharata, one has to worship Krishna, Purushottama. Purushottama. One has to worship Purushottama. So, to get this understanding, it is necessary to have that Andarmukhatva. You remember that word? Andarmukhatvam. Andarmukhatvam means inward looking nature. Only then this will develop. This Sarva Bhavena, what Krishna is talking about. Sarva sa sarva vid bhajadimam sarva bhavena bharata. In order that to happen, Andarmukhatvam is necessary. Andarmukhatvam means inward looking nature. Inward looking nature. Only through that, this process of worshipping Krishna, you will get it through Andarmukhatvam. This is the reason in the 7th canto, Sri Narada Maharshi told Yudhishthira, Bhavadvaidam, Kriyadvaidam, Dravyadvaidam. Remember that? In the 7th canto, 14th or 15th chapter. He says here, and Sri Narada Maharshi calls it as Dravyadvaidam, Bhavadvaidam, Kriyadvaidam. Through that, you have to come to this stage. You have to come to this stage. Then this can happen. That is what he is saying here. In other words, only then our bhakti will permeate throughout life in everything what we do. And then whatever you do at that time is bhajanam, bhakti it is. That is what that verse is talking about. So sarvavid bhajadi mam sarva bhavena bharata. That means 24 hours in everything it has to be a surrendered and Krishna conscious activity. Everything in relationship with Krishna, nothing separated from Krishna, everything for this understanding that Krishna is present in everything and that relationship with Krishna. That means everything is worship for them. That means what when we are eating, it is for pleasing Krishna. When we are discussing or talking something, for Krishna's pleasure. While working, it's for Krishna's pleasure. For vyavaharam, it's also Krishna's pleasure. Otherwise, it won't happen. This cannot happen. First, it has to internalize. Through andarmukhatvam, it has to happen, this realization. So, sarvavid bhajadimam sarvabhavena bharata. After that, it has to go into everything at every level. And that way, bhakti will permeate in everything. Bhakti will permeate in anything. Then whatever they do is worship. Whatever they do is worship. And their worship is not anymore 1 hour in the morning or 1 hour in the evening. It's 24 hours. 24 hours. Whole lifetime is that jnani is in the tapas stage, the tapas stage. And his austerities and penances will never finish, and it will never be stopped either. And his worship also is never lost, because he is always in bhajanam, in always in worship. And that person in this level, he doesn't have to pay obeisances to anyone either. Because nistudhihi nir namaskaraha. Why is it like that? He will not glorify anyone. He will not pay obeisances to anyone. What is the reason? Because he is always in the state of paying obeisances to everyone in this creation. That person. What Krishna is talking about. Sa sarvavid bhajadimam sarvabhavena bharada. Once you have reached that state, you are always paying obeisances to all living entities because you are recognizing Krishna everywhere, all time. Then to whom will you pay obeisances anymore? That stage is also gone for him. So from there you can understand that in our level to understand that itself is difficult. What to talk about reaching that state, isn't it? So, in other words, he is always lying down in a obeisances level state. He cannot get up anymore from there. Obeisances means lying down, isn't it? So, because he has paid obeisances once for all to everyone in this creation, not only to one person or the other, everything in this creation, including all the living entities, all the moving, non-moving objects, to everything, he has paid his obeisances to them. And so this is that state Krishna is talking about. Krishna is talking about. Then Yomam. Yomam evam asammutho janadi purushottamam sa sarvavid bhajadimam sarvabhavena bharata. Sa sarvavid bhajadimam sarvabhavena bharata. Sarvabhavena bharata. So you can read the translation. When you read the translation, you may get this understanding that when he knows me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, without doubting, is the knower of everything. We understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, no doubt also. But he therefore engages himself in full devotional service to me, O son of Bharata. There's a lot of things in that verse, because this is the realization of Purushottama. So it's not an ordinary state. You shouldn't take it in a very light-hearted way. It's a very, very high degree of state of realization. That means, first of all, always remember this, we are in the Charapurusha stage. In Charapurusha stage, even to understand this, even to become Charapurusha is difficult. Our core understanding at the moment is body, isn't it? Identification with the body. From body, you come to understand that there is a thing called ahangaram operating inside, false ego. And to know that ahangaram is operating in this world is the first realization. That is a Charapurusha realization. Initially, we are identifying with the body. But to realize that this body is operating due to the ego inside, ahangaram inside, isn't it? So to know that ahangaram is operating in this world is the first stage of realization. Charapurusha, in other words. After that, knowing well that this ahangaram is the cause of all the problems of this world, distress is coming due to this. Distress is coming due to ahangaram. Isn't it? Ahangaram is the cause of all the problems. Our ego in every level, isn't it? So when we are able to know, that is where we have to, through the inquiry process, ahambodham is different from ahankaram. To know that. Ahambodham is different from ahankaram. To know that, that is the another stage of realization there. Through holding on to that, move away from ahankaram, come to ahambodham. And when we realize that ahambodham inside, that is acharapurusha realization. And we have seen what does not allow us to realize acharapurusha. What is that? The vasanas inside. which is hiding behind us in the Karana Shariram, which manifests in the deep sleep state only, where he is present as a coverage for the Ahambodham or Akshara Purusha. Once that vasanas are removed from the Karana Shariram, completely released from everything, then Akshara Purusha will manifest. At that time, you realize that Akshara Purusha stage, what you are realizing is nothing but Aham Brahmasmi. Brahmam realization comes at that stage. Moving one more step further after that is, what you have realized inside as Aham Brahmasmi is present in everything, is the same Vastu, who is not. This is in the next step in the higher level. Comes to that is Purushottama or Uttama Purusha stage. That Sarva Kalidam Brahmam, except Brahmam, nothing else exists here. So, that is what, and that jnani or that person who has realized that, he will not, hasn't have to pay. Na studihi nir namaskaraha. He doesn't have anything to offer. That is in a very higher, and that is that state Krishna is talking about here. He says here, yomam evam. Only at that stage you can say that you are not a modha anymore. Up to that time we are still modha. Yomam evam asam modho janadi purushottamam. You have known Purushottama then. Sa sarvavid bhajati mam. What will happen to him? Then he is always worshipping me. How? Sarvabhavena bharata. There is no thoughts where he is independent of anything doing. Anything separately from that. Krishna says there like that. So, what's important? There's something to know these things. It's important here is that Krishna says here that sarvabhavena bharata. Isn't it? Sarvabhavena bharata. To comprehend that is a bit difficult. And in order to have that, you need that inward-looking nature, andarmukhattva. It is through that inward-looking, this sadhana will work out. Otherwise, it cannot happen. You know, that bhakti has to permeate in everything. By physically doing that, it won't happen. That's what I'm saying. What we are trying to do is physically doing it and saying that it happened. It is not happening. You can see that. People who have done physically for a long period of time, at some point they'll fall. Why they've lost it? We are thinking that physically doing something, it will work out. No, it won't. It will only happen if inside changes. Andarmukhattvam has to develop first. And then it will permit. From inside it has to start, not from outside. That's a mistake, big problem it is. Most of us are thinking that externally if I do a lot of devotional service for hundreds of years, it will happen. No, it won't. It cannot happen because body is doing it still. Ahangaram has not gone inside. So, realizations are all inside, not outside, in the world, outside. That is what these verses are talking to us, teaching us. That go inwards, change there where the change is necessary. That's why this was spoken like this. Charaburusha, Akshara Purusha, Purushottama, Uttama Purusha. This has to happen gradually. We can't even realize Akshara Purusha, what to talk about Uttama Purusha or Purushottama. Even that stage much comes later. So if you look back into Jnani's life who have realized this truth, you will find this one thing that they have changed first inside. And that has happened through the inquiry and through sadhana. It's also a helpful tool for that. But main change must happen inside. So, similarly, a realized soul, he's always in his identity, in spiritual identity. He's always in his spiritual identity. He cannot get up from there. He has fallen into his spiritual identity, in other words. if we have gone to the Swarubam, Swarubam means our spiritual identity. If you have gone there, then once again, as a individuality or personality or ahankaram, that cannot wake up again from inside. Ahankaram cannot wake up again as an individual. Individuality cannot come out again. And this individuality is called Moola Avidya. Moola Avidya means very fundamental ignorance. This is ahankaram, isn't it? That will not happen again because Moola Avidya has completely gone away. So what happened then? Sarvabhavena Bharata. Only when the Moola Avidya, these words, there is no substitute for that. Moola Avidya means, I think there is a translation as primeval ignorance. Prabhupada translated that, primeval ignorance. Or you can call it as very fundamental ignorance in us. That I am an individual person inside, which is we are referring to as individuality, personality, ahankaram it is called. That Moola Avidya, once that is gone from inside, then Krishna is saying, only then this is possible. This realization, which one? So, Sarvavid Bhajadimam Sarvabhavena Bharata. Sarvabhavena Bharata. And it will continuously happen in life then, after that. There will be non-stop. It will be non-stop from then on. You can't stop it. Oh, like we say, I'm doing devotional service from 9 to 5 or 2 to 3 or whatever time. There is no such thing. Daytime, nighttime, vacant state, dream state, deep sleep, it's all bhajana. All spiritual. And Krishna mentions this in the very, very, in the last words of the universal form. Mal karma krita mal paramo mal bhakta sangha varjidaha naruvaira sarvabhudeshu yasamamedi pandava. Remember that verse? I think it's the last verse in the universal 11th chapter. I think it's the 11th chapter. Mal karma krita mal paramo mal bhakta sangha varjida nirvaira sarvabhudeshu yasamamedi pandava. That verse. That's what it is.
Last one. Yeah.
Mal karma krita mal paramo mal bhakta sangha varjida nirvaira sarvabhudeshu yasamamedi pandava. That's that verse. So Krishna is making that point there, that all the karma is for Krishna then. You have no responsibility anymore. All the karma is for Krishna. Because only Krishna is there. Krishna is doing all the karma. Except, nothing exists here except Krishna. That means, at that stage, there is no more a trace of selfishness in that person. To such an extent, released from all selfishness inside. So, and no selfishness will touch him anymore. Again. Because otherwise, selfishness will come back and catch us again. We will feel. Selfishness means, not in the gross sense what we talk about. Here, selfishness means to act on a individual level all the time. Personality level. Not in the spiritual level. Spiritual level is always taking in this understanding that Krishna is present in everything. To act in that way, that is not the selfishness. Selfishness is to act that in my own way, I think something is right, I have to do it, or I am the doer. All this is selfishness. All this is selfishness. So, this is selfishness is the one that is keeping us separated from Krishna in the spiritual platform. That keeps us separated from Krishna is this selfishness. This is selfishness. Then, and that makes us a personality, individuality, everything comes in at that time. And it becomes cause of so many other problems also. Now, whatever we may say, bhakti, this, that and the other, when we come to vyavaharam in this world, we are like the foxes, isn't it? We become very cocky and very crafty. This is the problem. And that won't leave us. We will talk bhakti, all other things. As soon as we come to vyavaharam level, we become crafty. And we start calculating, and this is due to this problem. Swarthada inside, selfishness inside. It doesn't go. And in Vyavaharam, it is necessary to be like that because to protect yourself, you may have to do that. And we will be very clever in the Vyavaharam. But the problem is that this cleverness, you can't bring it to spiritual life. This is the difficulty. All our cleverness in this material world, in our Vyavaharam, what we have developed, sometimes we feel like this is a big problem. We become very clever in material life and then we bring that into spiritual life. That will not work. Because you will be swimming the sea, but you will not reach the other end. You will keep on doing things. It's a very difficult thing to come through, isn't it? So, because when you come to spiritual life with all that cleverness, what happens is that cleverness will keep on working behind the mind. And it will keep on working and that will not stop. That's the problem. When we come to spiritual life also, we are thinking how to get the other one down. How to push the other one down. And I could be the guru. He should remain where he is. You can see this every day in all organizations. This goes on. It's not, so sometimes a little bit higher understanding what they do is that they don't want to waste time anymore. They move out of it. Because it becomes so difficult sometimes within organization. These things creeps in very strongly. And then it comes and disturbs your mind. And you have come for a very higher purpose to realize the truth. And then you get implicated in all the politics, all the problems of the institution. And you want to get destroyed by that thing, isn't it? It doesn't allow you to go escape easily. And nobody is above all these things. You can see when you get there how those problems completely control you and push you down in every way. What happens is Vyakti Bodham comes. Personality things develops inside. And this personality will only go when you come to this Purushottama realization. That means when you completely offered everything to Krishna. And maximum resistance in that process comes from the ego. False ego. So your own false ego is the one which will resist that maximum. And because it wants to live. Hangaram wants to live. So it will frighten us. It will frighten us. How will it frighten us? It will frighten us saying like this. That if you give up your position in spiritual life, if you surrender everything like that, you will be nowhere. Everyone will walk over you. They will say like that. Isn't it? So what happens? Even at the institution, ashram or mutt or temple or wherever you are, still you look after yourself. You look after yourself. That means you are frightened of that hangaram dictating from inside. False ego is distance. So that is why Gaudapada Acharya says there, Abhaye Bhaya Darshinaha. He says that Abhaye Bhaya Darshinaha. This state what Krishna is talking about is fearlessness. And you are frightened about that, becoming that. Abhaye Bhaya Darshinaha. You are fearful of becoming like that. You are fearful about that. That means you are frightened that if I become a devotee like that, fully surrendered to Krishna, you are frightened. You don't want to be. Why? You are frightened about it. Because you are frightened that if I become like that, everybody will walk over me. Everybody will exploit me. Everybody will use me. All this fear is inside. Is it not? That is why you won't accept that. So, if you are frightened about a position which is fearlessness. Abhaye Bhaya Darshinaha. He says like that. And when that happens, not only ordinary people, this comes to even the great yogis, they are frightened about that. Yogino vidyade vyasmin abhaye bhaya darshinaha. So therefore, the main blockage at that stage for Purushottama realization is this personality or ahangara. So unless you have moved very far in the Aksharapurusha stage, you can't even talk about this Purushottama stage. Unless you have moved very far in the Aksharapurusha stage. First of all, you have to come to Aksharapurusha stage. That's the step one. Then from Aksharapurusha, you have to come to the Aksharapurusha stage. So unless you have gone very far in the Aksharapurusha realization, this Purushottama Yogam or Uttama Purusha realization, you can't even imagine that. Can't even imagine that. Because Ahankaram, you have to slice it all the time, slice it off, step by step by step. And Ashraya Purusha stage is that practically a lot of Ahankaram is gone. And you have more or less cleared most of the obstacles inside and realized that Aham Brahmasmi, Brahman realization has come. But still, there is a possibility that Ahankaram can come back, even in that stage. So that's why this is a process that continues. That is why after Aham Brahmasmi realization, Parabhakti takes further. Not to allow that Ahankaram to come back again. That's why it is necessary. So, and a person who has reached that stage, there is nothing else exists after that. Krishna is saying here that yogino bibhyade nyasmin abhaye bhayadarshinaha. So, again, it will not come in a gross way. Which one? This ahankaram, the false ego. It will come in a very, very sushma mandalam. That means in a very extremely subtle level, it will come. And it will keep frightening us. It will keep frightening us. And that is why Krishna is saying here that sa sarvamid bhajati mam. These verses, only if you look into the realization behind it, you can appreciate these verses. What a degree of realization is necessary to be like this. Sa sarvamid bhajati mam sarvabhavena bharata. First time when you read it, oh, you think, oh, it's very simple. It's not so complicated, is it? 24 hours devotional service, that's all. That will be the ignorant way. In the initially, it is like that. You can't blame that person. If you take the direct meaning of all these verses and start reading, I read the translation. All it says is that 24 hours you have to live in a temple and do the devotional service. You got it. Purushottama realization. Whoever knows me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, yes, we accept that. Without doubting, there is no doubt. The knower of everything, yes. He therefore engages himself in full devotional service to me and is 24 hours in devotional service. O son of Bharata, finished. So, that is not that. This is coming from a completely higher level of realization. Only, that is why, when we discuss all these verses, Charaburusha, Acharaburusha, Purushottama, what does it all mean? Isn't it? That word itself is dictating to us, you've got to be in that level to know it, what it means. You have to be in that level to know it, to what it means, isn't it? So, this ego, which can, even after Akshara Purusha realization, you can have some ego still coming. But that will be in an extremely subtle level. Sushma mandalam it is. Very sushma, extremely sushma. See, gross things, you can do it, something about it. Sushma, when it happens, it's very difficult to deal with it. Is it not? We won't even know it. That's the problem. It happens in such a sushma level, something level. So, that is why he mentions there that when it happens completely to that extent, surrender to Krishna, then whatever he does is completely spiritual life. Proper Uttama Purusha stage, Sarva Bhavena Bharata, that stage comes to him. And that is that, so some a devotee who has practiced spiritual life for a long, long time, he has wanted to do some work in a government office. So he gave an application there. So he told them that, they asked in the application, what have your experience? What have you been doing? He said, I was engaged in spiritual life, or life I spent in that. Nothing else is done. There's nothing else to write. So what will you do? What will you do? So that is what this Sarvavid Bhajati Mam Sarvabhavena Bharata Purushottama Yogam is like that. There is no other applications. There is no work. There is no other kind of engagement, service, nothing. Everything that stage has crossed beyond that. And this is what, this one particular thing, what Krishna is saying here, is what Krishna has spoken in the 9th chapter is most confidential knowledge. Remember? Krishna said confidential it is, isn't it? So, there he mentions that Raja Vidya, Raja Guhyam. പവിത്രം ഇതമുത്തമം പ്രത്യക്ഷം അവഗമം ധർമ്മ്യം സുസുഖം കർത്തും അവ്യയം. Have you ever thought about that verse? Why Krishna calls it as Rajavidya, Rajagokyam and all that? So many adjectives Krishna has used here. Rajavidya, king of knowledge, Krishna is saying. Rajagokyam, extremely confidential. Pavitram, highest purity in that. Pratyaksham avagamam dharmyam. Susugham kartum avyayam. If it is executed happily. It's the first verse in that I think it is the first or second verse. Second verse in the 9th chapter. This is when you should look back into that verse after realizing this Purushottama stage. What will happen to that person? As he says, Krishna is saying there that the Rajavidya, Rajagukhyam, Pavitram, Idamuttamam, Pratyakshavagamam, Dharmyam, Susugham, Kartam, Avyayam. This knowledge is the king of education, the most secret of all secrets. It is the purest knowledge. And because it gives direct perception of the self by realization, it is the perfection of religion. It is everlasting and it is joyfully performed. Interesting. So now you know that the devotional service, we keep saying all these things, isn't it? If it is not in the realization platform, all these verses won't make any meaning. Don't make any sense, isn't it? It's all based on realizations. That's why you can see the connections. When Purushottama Yogam realization happens, at that time, that realization is what Krishna is referring to in that verse. Rajavidya, Rajaguhyam. So, royal secret, Krishna calls it as royal secret, isn't it? In other words, can that not be experienced? Yes, you can. Pratyaksham avagamam dharmyam susugham kartum avyayam. He says it is easier to do that and it is so joyful also. But then why is it so confidential? Confidential because not something that I have to close the door and tell you in the inside the room. Not like that. No. It's because confidential is. It is why it's confidential because even if I talk to you, you won't get it. That's why. Because that's the nature of that. That's the nature of this truth. Only through realization you will get it. Not by speaking. Only through realization you will get it. So, it cannot be expressed through the mouth. That is why Krishna calls it as Guhyatamam. You will see there. In this Purushottama Yogam, Krishna is saying it's Guhyatamam. Guhyatama means most confidential. Look at that verse. If you look into the last verse, 20th verse, the last verse in this chapter, Krishna is saying, just like in that 9th chapter, Idi Guhyatamam Shastram. This Shastram I have spoken, Krishna is saying, is most confidential. Guhyatamam. There are three things. Guhyam, confidential. Guhyataram, very confidential. Guhyatamam, most confidential. Krishna is saying this Purushottama Yogam is most confidential. Like in the 9th chapter, Krishna said that, isn't it? Rajavidya, Rajaguhyam. Royal secret, Krishna calls it there. Here, Krishna says, Guhyatamam, he says. Most confidential, he's saying. Vastu is the same. Whatever that was spoken in the 9th chapter, it's the same thing Krishna is discussing here. Nothing different, but spoken in a different way again. Here, it is through Kshara-purusha, Akshara-purusha, Purushottama, in that way. In the 13th chapter, Krishna spoke through Kshetram and Kshetrajnyan. In the 7th chapter, Krishna has spoken through Paraprakriti, Aparaprakriti, like that. So, you can see one thing. Krishna wants us to understand what his soul means. This is the goal of all these different ways of presenting it. To make us understand. Because we have knowledge of the body, matter. We have no knowledge of the soul. In order to get this soul consciousness inside, awareness, bodham, Krishna has to speak that in different ways. So in this chapter, Krishna spoke in another way. Through three modes of material nature, he spoke in another way. Again, you can see. Another way Krishna is presented about that, isn't it? So here, Krishna is saying also the same thing. Uhyatamam, he says. Superlative degree. Isn't it? So you should not say that you didn't understand this chapter now. Because if you say that you have not understood this, if you say you understood this chapter, then there's something wrong. Because this chapter is not for understanding. It is for realization. You see? That is why while hearing these things, don't worry about it if you have not understood it. It's not important whether you have understood or not. Understanding is with the mind. It is meant to go into the heart. Antaryami inside must recognize that this message is important. Till that time you have to keep hearing. And this is the process. Not because generally our nature is, have I got it? Have I got it? This is what keep on asking. You won't get it. It's not meant for getting it, first of all. It's meant for realizing it. Anubhuti. Realization is more possible with this knowledge. That is why Krishna is saying here that it is sarvabhavena bharata evam asamodho is asamodha. Freedom from that modhatvam has come to him and he will realize it. And therefore at the end of the chapter Krishna says iti guhyatamam, most confidential thing he says there. Guhyam, guhyataram, guhyatamam. Purushottama yogam is guhyatamam. Is guhyatamam. Like 9th chapter, Raja Yogam was Guhyatamam. We have to put a very strong foundation of Bhagavad Gita inside. Otherwise, Bhagavadam and other literature, Ishavanishad and all, will be very hard to relate with. You see. And this strong foundation is Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is the foundation text for spiritual knowledge. Isn't it? Because it's not meant for understanding. And it is meant for going to the heart directly. And if you have got it, then what will happen? Mind will go. There won't be any more mind after that. Mind is only up to this stage till you get it. Purushottama yogam, if you have got it, mind will not be there anymore. That's what happens to the jnani. He has no mind. Mind operates in the conditioned state. In the Charapurusha stage, Ahangaram stage, mind exists. Otherwise, mind goes away. And what happens is, once this knowledge is realized inside, it will destroy all other knowledge what we had inside. And this fire of knowledge also eventually will die. It destroys everything. And it will destroy the mind as well. It will destroy the mind as well. Mind will go away from inside, and that is called Purushottama Yoga. That thing, that knowledge which gets in and destroys the mind once for all, and that knowledge again alone remains inside. That is called Purushottama Yoga. So, therefore, if somebody says to you that sometimes I've seen this also, somebody says, only that Purushottama Yoga I didn't understand that chapter, rest everything I've understood. When they say that, you got to smile. Because that means you have not understood anything. That's what it means. So those who say that he has understood that this 15th chapter, he says, oh, I didn't understand that, or once he understood that, who says he has not understood that chapter, he says like this, then Shruti says, you cannot say any of these things. Who says that he has understood that chapter? He has not understood. And those who say he has not understood that chapter, he has understood it. Spiritual life is like that, isn't it? Every step. Remember, I told you a story about Pakana. Pakana, Narayan Brahman, he was saying this. Whole day, he used to push huge stones right to the top of the hill. With a whole day he used to work, pushing a huge stone to the top of the hill. And from the night, very late in the evening, he'll push it down. That stone, he has pushed all the way there. And when the stone was coming down, he will clap his hands very loudly and laugh like anything, enjoying how the stone coming down from the top. So a lot of people, they thought he has gone crazy. This man is crazy. He was crazy. From our point of view, he was crazy. They went up to him and told him, "What else this you are doing, wasting your time like this?" He says to them, "What else are you doing?" He said. That was his answer. "What else are you doing?" he said to them. So his point was that all of us in this world are doing exactly the same thing. Whole life we are working, earning, never coming to an end, isn't it? It keeps on doing things, thinking that, oh, this is the way to become happy. And then madness comes to everything in life, never able to go out of that. So this is the same principle, that's what he's saying. And when he was invited, when Agnihotri's eldest brother, who was discussing Upanishads, Narayana brother used to sit there and listen to him. Many, many days he was listening. And one day he got up and left. And then they asked him, why have you left? You have been listening so long. Why have you left? He says, "I understood everything." He says, "What have you understood?" He says, "I have understood that I can't understand anything. I have understood that," he said. So this is the way it is. That spiritual life is like that. The moment you say you have understood something, that means you are not understood. The moment you say you have not understood anything, that means you have understood that you can't understand. It's not meant for understanding. That's the first thing in spiritual life. It's not meant for understanding. Understanding is with the mind. Mind and the brain and all that, isn't it? But realization is from the hrit. Krishna says like that, isn't it? Matta smridir jnanam apohanam ja. Smriti jnanam apohanam. Knowledge, forgetfulness and memory is all happening in the hrit, not in your mind, not in the understanding. So Shruti says that. Why? Because this chapter, 15th chapter, is highly confidential, Krishna says. Ativa guhyam. Ativa guhyam. And that is why this is meant to be going to the heart, straight into the heart. And four kinds of people who listens to this chapter. First, people who listens to this, they will sleep. They go to sleep. Second type is those who have misunderstood the whole thing. This is the second category. The third one is those who have understood it. They're all in the same boat. The one who slept, the one who misunderstood, the one who understood. They're all in the wrong place. And the fourth one is one who experienced it. He's the one who has got it, really, some benefit from that. But all the four categories will be benefited from that, because it's the first one who slept, later on who gets it. In due course of time, you have to start somewhere, either through sleep or through misunderstanding or through understanding, that finally you get it. Finally, you get it. So, the one who has slept, it will go inside and it will lie there. He may not have got it, because you may think that, "Oh, I didn't get it." Actually, he has got it. It has gone inside and it is lying there. And because in satsangam, it's always like that, someone self-realization will infect into us also. So, it will stop slowly creeping into ours also. So, just like you can see in satsangam, if one person yawn, the next person also will yawn. The next person also will yawn, isn't it? Similarly, this realization also is like that. If one person has some realization, that will infect into others also. In course of time, it will happen. It has to happen. That is why in the Vedic system, they didn't give importance to institution. They gave importance to close association for this reason. Not physical association, on a spiritual level, all the time association. Guru-disciple relations, and the students also with the teacher. They stayed with the teacher 24 hours. Overall, all the time, this vibrations from the teacher is affecting the children, early days in life. And that will imbibe that spiritual culture in a very natural way in them. Whereas you put them in the university and tell them from 10 to 4 or 9 to 5, whatever it is, he will challenge the teacher later. Whereas with that close association, this infection of anubhuti, anubhuti level, it gets transmitted, not on an intellectual level, like in the school or college. That is the basic difference with this process. So here, so salsangam is like that. The genes of the knowledge of the self is present, and they get, and without our knowledge, it will go inside, and it will go into our field of realization. Field of realization. So even if you have not understood, there's nothing wrong about it. Even if you have slept, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. If you have experienced it, it's the best. But even if you have not understood, still doesn't matter. Because anyway, for all the four categories, what Krishna is talking about, that means one who has slept, one who has misunderstood, one who has understood, and one who has experienced, all four categories, they will get benefited from the from this knowledge. So, important thing is that salsangam should lead to mananam, that reflection about that. Without reflection, mananam is necessary. Mananam means reflection of all these things, what we are discussing through these verses. It is important because that is how this develops inside. So, that reflection and bring it into one's own experience. So, therefore, it is one of the most confidential knowledge. Krishna is saying, only if you have translated that into realization, Krishna is saying here that this confidentiality will go. So, most of the, as Krishna mentioned here, most confidential chapter is this 15th chapter, what we have discussed now. What is this now? So, that is what we have to take note of in this chapter. Sharapurusha, Acharapurusha, Purushottama. All these three levels, what we have gone through, we should continuously analyze it, reflect on this, what we discussed in the verses. There's only 20 verses in this chapter. And come to have a clarity inside. Maybe through the mind, doesn't matter. In the initially, it will be like that. So the mind and the brain and all that will be there. But the more we absorb that, it will penetrate into our field of realization. And that is a way to get it in. Otherwise, how is it going to happen? It will happen in that way. And that is why the next verse. You can see the last verse.
Iti guhyatamam shastram. Idam uktam mayanakha. Edat buddhva buddhiman syat. Kritakrityascha bharata. Iti guhyatamam shastram. Idam uktam mayanakha. Edat buddhva buddhiman syat. Kritakrityascha bharata.
So, iti guhyatamam shastram. Idam uktam mayanakha. Edat buddhva buddhiman syat. Kritakrityascha bharata. Krishna saying, this is the most confidential part of the Vedic scriptures. O sinless one, and it is disclosed now by me. Whoever understands this will become wise, and his endeavors will know perfection. Now, Prabhupada has used the word understands this. Again, we will think it is understanding with the mind. That is not Prabhupada's fault, it is the language problem. What else will you say? That's all you can say. So therefore, it is the language problem. It is more than to be, but we have to be clear about it. It's not for understanding. It's for realization. If you don't make it realization, whether you have understood or not understood is all same. You may say you have understood, but it's not going to help you. if you have not realized it. That's important thing here. That is why it is guhyam, because it's not for understanding. If it's for understanding, much more intelligent people than us in this world will understand this. Is it not? There are many more intelligent people in this world who can understand this. But understanding won't help. Why? Krishna is saying, iti guhyadamam shastram. In the 9th chapter also he said, I'm going to tell you the most secret thing. He said, here again he is saying it's a secret, most secret thing. So everything is secret, secret, secret. Whole thing is so secret. And we are printing millions of Bhagavad Gita's and giving to people the most secret thing. Most secret, but it is freely available to the whole world. Why is it secret then? Secret is this. Unless you realize it, whether you got the Bhagavad Gita in the hand or not, it's all, once you have got it, then you don't need this Bhagavad Gita anymore. Bhagavad Gita, you need it till you have it, isn't it? So, that is the secret. Whereas all other things, you still keep the book after you got the knowledge. Like any field, if you go to science or engineering, all, I still keep my engineering books, which is about 30, 40 years ago. It has not gone, still in the loft. Because when you are working, you are thinking, you don't know when it will come necessary. Mechanical engineer's handbook, electrical engineer's handbook, at least the handbooks. Because it was difficult to get hold of those books sometimes, in them days. Now it's different. Now it's so much available in the net and other things, isn't it? But when we were students, it was not available like that freely. And books were very expensive to buy. So, even though you studied those books, you still kept it with you. But Bhagavad Gita, after you have got it, you don't have to keep the book anymore. That's the difference. Guhyadamam Shastra. That is why it is Guhyam. Only thing is you have to get it. Book, having the book doesn't help. So different, isn't it? From the material knowledge and the spiritual realization. So, Krishna saying here, all this I have spoken to you, to Arjuna, he says, Guhyatamam Shastram, he said, extremely confidential. Guhyam means Guhayam Stidam. Guhayam Stidam. That means this confidential knowledge is in a cave. Guha. Guhayam Stidam. Guha means cave. It is present inside the cave. Where is that cave? Here. Right hand side. That heart, Hrit, Krishna calls it as the Hrit, isn't it? There he is hiding the secret of all these things. And this secret, no one can tell you also. No one can tell you this. That is why it is secret. That is why Krishna calls it as Guhyatamam. Guhyam is confidential. Guhyataram is more confidential. Guhyatamam is most confidential. Most confidential. So, when will that happen? Only when you become mature to receive that knowledge. Only when you become mature to receive that knowledge. As much as we become matured for that, this Purushottama Yogam will also become more and more manifest in us, develop or manifest in us. That is why Bhagavad Gita, you can't read it like a novel and throw it away after reading it. Every time you read Bhagavad Gita, more and more realizations will come from inside. If you are reading it sincerely and with a surrender mood to Krishna, to reveal this knowledge to you, you have to be surrendered to Krishna. Always asking Krishna to reveal that to you from inside. And you will see that inside yourself, you will see a new doors of perception coming from inside, opening. New doors of perception opening. And little by little, when you start opening that door, you can see this ignorance will get cleared up. Anavaranam it is called. Lodabhada Acharya call it as Niravarana Drishti. Anavaranam means wiping out this darkness inside, Ajnanam, Avidya inside, everything getting wiped out. You will see that yourself when you serve Bhagavad Gita in that surrendered mood, if you keep reading Bhagavad Gita. So Krishna is saying here, idam uktam, he says in that verse, isn't it? Idam uktam. Idam guhyadamam shastram. Iti guhyadamam shastram. Idam uktam mayanaka. Edat buddhva buddhimansyal kritakrityascha bharata. Krishna says like that. Is it not? So here he says, guhyadamam, this shastram, maya ukta. Idam uktam maya ukta. I am spoken. Krishna says, I have spoken. Even Krishna says, idam uktam maya. Proktam, idam uktam mayanakha. Idam uktam. Krishna is not even saying, he doesn't say, I have said. What he is saying here, that idam uktam. You must try to understand the subtlety of that. It's like this. If I say, I have spoken this, means you will take it as, me, the person, has spoken. Isn't it? You know what Krishna is saying? Krishna is saying the word, idam uktam. Idam uktam means that it's been spoken like that from time immemorial, from the rishis. That's what it refers to. Going back to the rishis who are behind it. It is good to know about every rishis as much as possible, because they are the personalities who have given us this knowledge, isn't it? And you will see by studying Srimad Bhagavatam, you get to know many, many rishis in the Bhagavatam. Parashuram, Gautama Rishi, Agastya, Durvasav, they are all powerful personalities in the Bhagavatam, isn't it? They have spoken like this. That is why it is spoken idam muktam. It doesn't say I have spoken. Idam muktam. Krishna says it has come through them and it has been like this always. What is that? This confidential thing. They kept it very confidential. Who? The rishis. They kept it confidential. They didn't. And they knew that nobody will be able to steal it easily. Steal it. They're so well kept. Maintained. So, in other words, that universal teaching it is. It has come from that. He followed through me. That is how Krishna puts it. He's not saying I am. Because if you say I am saying that, then it has become a religion. That is the reason why he didn't say that. That is why all other religions have come. Krishna doesn't want to say that I have started this religion. Rishis realized it. It has come through me now to you. That's all. That's the position even Krishna is taking. Imagine that. And now we are saying what? My teaching, your teaching, his teaching, who's teaching? There is no such thing in spiritual life. Everything is, the rishis have given us that. It has come through them also. But that tradition Krishna is keeping. Rishis also says, it's come through us. And Krishna is also saying, that same truth has come through me to you now. So, universe, it followed through me. Therefore, that is why Krishna says here that he followed through me. That's why Arjuna asked Krishna again, repeat this Bhagavad Gita to me once again. Krishna says here, Krishna says to Arjuna, I can't remember that. The way it came through me at that time is not coming through me now. Naja medat smritihi puna sambhavishyadi. Krishna says like that in the Bhagavad. And so, so that is why this teaching, this knowledge existed from creation, from the very beginning. This Purushottama Yoga existed from the very beginning. It's not a new thing. This is the thing first existed, creation happened later. Knowledge existed first. Whereas nowadays, what do? We develop the technology and then we create something, isn't it? But this knowledge was not created, it always existed. After that, creation happened. And that is why in the Bhagavatam you will see Vadandida Tattvavedam Tattva Yat Jnanam Advayam. That Advaya Jnanam is this Purushottama Yoga. And it is that Advaya Jnanam is what is referred to as Brahmedi, Paramatmedi, Bhagavaniti, Shadyade. You see? Advaya Jnanam first, Brahma, Paramatma, Bhagavan comes later. What exists originally is Advaya Jnanam, Purushottama Yoga. This exists first. All others comes later. Rishis comes later. All incarnations comes later. But knowledge existed. And that is why even Krishna says, Aham evasam evagre నాణ్యద్యత్ సదసత్పరం పశ్చాత్ అహం యదేదచ యోవశిష్యత స్వస్మ్యహం. దట్ అహం అవేర్నెస్ బోధం కాన్షియస్నెస్ ఆర్ దిస్ నాలెడ్జ్ ఆఫ్ ద సెల్ఫ్ ఆల్వేస్ ఎగ్జిస్టెడ్. దెర్ వాజ్ నో టైమ్ ఇట్ డిడ్ంట్ ఎగ్జిస్ట్. ఫ్రమ్ దెన్ ఆన్ అదర్ థింగ్స్ కేమ్ మచ్ లేటర్. డిఫరెంట్ ఇన్కార్నేషన్స్, డిఫరెంట్ మేనిఫెస్టేషన్స్, డిఫరెంట్ థింగ్స్, ఆల్ అదర్ కమ్స్ లేటర్. దట్ ఈస్ అండ్ దట్ ఈస్ వై ఇన్ ద భాగవతం ఆల్సో యూ విల్ సీ హౌ కస్మై ఏన విభాసితోయమతులు జ్ఞాన ప్రదీప పురా తద్రూపేణ జనారదాయ మునయే కృష్ణాయ తద్రూపిణా. ద లాస్ట్ ఎండ్ ఆఫ్ ద భాగవతం, వాట్ డస్ ఇట్ సే? కస్మై ఏన విభాసితోయమదులో జ్ఞాన ప్రదీప పురా. దట్ జ్ఞాన ప్రదీపం ఈస్ భాగవతం. దట్ నాలెడ్జ్ ఈస్ భాగవతం. జ్ఞాన ప్రదీప పురా. దెన్ వాట్ హ్యాపన్? తద్రూపేణ జనారదాయ మునయే కృష్ణాయ తద్రూపిణా. కృష్ణ సాట్ ఇన్ బ్రహ్మస్ హార్ట్. కృష్ణ స్పోక్ భాగవతం and received Bhagavatam in Brahma's heart. Sitting in Brahma's heart, spoke Bhagavatam to Narada Maharshi. Sitting in Narada Maharshi's heart, accepted Srimad Bhagavatam from him. Sitting in Narada Maharshi's heart, spoke Srimad Bhagavatam, and sitting in Vedavyasa Maharshi's heart, accepted Srimad Bhagavatam from there. In this way, and then from Vedavyasa to Shukha Brahmarshi, Shukha Brahmarshi to Parikshit, like this it continues. Continuously goes on. So that is what it mentioned here. తద్రూపేణ చ నారదాయ మునయే కృష్ణాయ తద్రూపిణ యోగీంద్రాయ తదాత్మనాదత్ భగవద్రాదాయ కారుణ్యదాం. అండ్ అగైన్ గ్లోరిఫైస్ దట్ తత్ శుద్ధం. దట్ నాలెడ్జ్ ఈస్ వెరీ ప్యూర్. నాలెడ్జ్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ పురుషోత్తమ యోగం ఈస్ వెరీ వెరీ ప్యూర్. తత్ శుద్ధం విమలం, ఆల్వేస్ ఇట్ ఈస్, ఇట్ కెనాట్ బి కంటామినేటెడ్ బై ఎనీథింగ్. తత్ శుద్ధం విమలం, దెన్ వాట్ ఎల్స్? విశోకం. వన్స్ దిస్ నాలెడ్జ్ ఈస్ సీన్ ఇన్ సమ్వన్, he has been completely released from all kinds of distress. There cannot be any more distress to that person. Amrutam, it is nectar. And what is that? Satyam param dhimahi. That is that satyam what is spoken in the Bhagavatam. So you can see Bhagavatam concludes in the same way. Always stresses on that knowledge. Knowledge of the self. Atma. Without that, what spiritual life? You can bring personalities as much as you want. Somebody will say Krishna, somebody will say Vishnu, somebody will say Shiva, somebody will say something else. And on personality based, you can develop religion like that. My teacher or my God tells me like this, your God tells me something different. But that's okay. That's in that level, it's fine. But this knowledge in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, as Krishna is putting here, iti guhyaramam shastram, this shastram is idam uktam mayanaka. Has been spoken here, he says. It has come through me, that's all, he puts it. He's not saying that I have spoken. See how kind of careful Krishna is about while saying that. Even Krishna does not want to change that tradition, because otherwise the knowledge becomes Krishna's knowledge then. Of course it is Krishna's knowledge, but the way it has to stay in this world is through the rishis. And that tradition Krishna wouldn't change. It will remain in that way. Krishna is in that state all the time. There is no question about that. So this knowledge has manifested at the time of creation. Before the time of creation, it existed. And iti uktam mayanaka edad buddhva. Krishna says, edad buddhva. Edad buddhva means, if this has manifested in your brain. That's when Krishna says brain, it doesn't refer to our so-called this brain. That it means in consciousness. This is how it's referred to at this time. In your experience level, if it has happened, then you will become properly situated, intelligence. So, and if you are intelligent in the proper way, that means if your intelligence is good, this knowledge will manifest. That means first our intelligence has to be very pure to accept this without any resistance, what Krishna has spoken in these chapters, isn't it? Not only that also means that you require that maturity inside, pakkoda, spiritual maturity inside. If that happens, what will happen? That's what Krishna is saying there. Kritakrityasya Bharata, Arjuna says to him, edad buddhva buddhiman syat kritakrityascha Bharata. You see that word? Kritakrityascha Bharata. Kritakrityascha means that when do you say kritakrityata? Kritakrityata means, suppose you have done something and you are totally satisfied with the result. That is called kritakrityata. if this knowledge, Krishna says here, that if this knowledge has manifested in you, then you won't ask for anything after that. No more hunting for knowledge or hunting for any other thing. Dhanyada or Kritakrityada will happen. That means what you have to do in your life, you feel you have done it. You made it, in other words. We all leave this world not satisfied, isn't it? Sometimes we feel, oh, if I had a little few more years to do something, what I wanted to do. But it doesn't allow. Prarabdham will pull you down straight away. Is it not? In that Gajendra stories, if you read, you will see. You know that Gajendra was caught down by Prarabdham. It was his Prarabdham. Agastya Maharshi cursed him. Isn't it? It's a very interesting topic in the Bhagavatam. It's our story, it is. Through that elephant, what has been spoken, yeah. So, the elephant, Gajendra, he was Indradyumna king in his previous life. Indradyumna was sitting there in meditation. His guru, Agastya Maharshi, comes there. In Srimad Bhagavatam, two important topics are related to Agastya. Have you noticed? Ajamila story and this Indradyumna story. Both have come from Indradyumna. Indradyumna spoke Ajamila story and Indradyumna was directly responsible. Agastya spoke Ajamila story and Agastya was directly responsible for Gajendra story. Agastya was a famous personality, very famous personality. And Agastya's disciple is this Indradyumna. There's a lot of discussion about this, that Agastya goes to see Indradyumna in Triguda Parvadam, which is Sumeru Mountains nearby. And Indradyumna is performing penances there. And something made Indradyumna was in samadhi state. And Agastya goes there to see him. When Agastya went there, he saw Indradyumna in samadhi state and thought that why is he not offering his respects to me? He is his guru, isn't it? And he is staying in this samadhi state. Therefore, he cursed him to become an elephant. Why did he curse him to become an elephant? Because among all the living beings, that animal which has got the highest bodily concept of life is elephant. Because he's got a huge body as well, isn't it? Highest bodily identity is in the elephant. That is why he told him it's a bad curse, isn't it? In that sense, that it is so difficult to come out of that bodily identity. That is why he cursed him like that, to become an elephant. So, Agastya Maharshi, when he came to that, to see Indradyumna, this question comes up, how could a rishi, a sage like him, get angry first of all? That itself is a big question. Okay, if it was Durvasa, it doesn't matter. It's understandable. Because he is personified with the anger all the time. But Agastya Maharshi is not like that. Agastya Maharshi has studied Upanishads very well. That Upanishad's culture is very strong in Agastya. And Agastya would not normally curse somebody like that. But why did Agastya curse him then? This question is a big question, isn't it? Acharya refers to that and says, the only reason he cursed was when Agastya came in and saw that Indradyumna had a big prarabdham to finish. And that prarabdham won't finish very easily. So he decided deliberately to curse him and to create this situation of an elephant's life. And he also gave the benediction that you will get released from that. See how this is why great personalities, when they curse, it will always turns out to be the good side of it is that it will eventually end up in the liberation of the person. You can see this in the Bhagavatam in many places. Nalakubera and Manigriva, they were cursed by Narada Maharshi, Kubera's children. But eventually what happened? Krishna sent them back. Is it not? Gave them. Krishna came and Krishna, they had to wait. They had to go through the curse. 100 years to stand as the trees and all that. But fortunately, Krishna gave them the darshanam and eventually told both of them to go back to their Kuvera's children they were, not to repeat that mistake again and send them back. So, Krishna, Vidyaranya Swamiji mentions this. Panchadashi, if you read, you will see at the very end of Panchadashi, you will see Dhanyoham, Dhanyoham, Tridhanyoham, Kartavyam Praptam, Kartavyam Kritam. That Krita Krityata Krishna is talking about. Dhanyoham, Dhanyoham. I am completely satisfied. Completely, totally satisfied. Tridhanyoham, three times he says. Dhanyoham, 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 Tridhanyoham, Kartavyam Praptam. What I have to do in my life, I have done it. And I have got the result. What I have to do, I have done that. That is called Kritakrityata. Nothing else is needed after this. So, this Kritakrityata, what Krishna is saying there, Kritakrityascha Bharata, that perfection, satisfaction, where is it coming from? Where does that come from? It comes from like this. When your ego, false ego, is totally destroyed, there is not even a trace of that false ego anymore. Ahankara Nishesha Kshayam Brahmanubhavam. At that time, this Brahmanubhavam or Brahman realization, Paramatma Anubhavam, it has opened up inside, that it start trickling down from inside. That experience of the self, of Krishna present inside. Early in Bhagavadam, you remember in the third canto, it's spoken that Karna Nadim opened up. That's what it is. Karna Nadim Chinati, isn't it? Karna Nadi is broken. It's a Nadi called Amrita Nadi, Karna Nadi. So many names they call. Amrita Nadi is called because it carries the message of the self. Amrita Nadi. Karna Nadi is called because it goes from ear to the heart. To the heart. It has opened. And through that, this starts flowing. Which one? This Purushottama Yogam starts flowing through that. And that experience will be in throughout the body and in the consciousness. That's why it says here, Krita Krityascha Bharata. And in all fields of existence, that means in the waking state, in Vyavaharam, in the dream state, in the deep sleep state, in all the three states, this experience has come. Purushottama Yogam experience has come. And it is not only related to Krit, Akshara Purusha Anubhavam. Akshara Purusha is only here, isn't it? Whereas Purushottama Yogam is everywhere. And when this Akshara Purusha realization inside, when it comes through the senses to the world outside, it becomes Purushottama Yoga. It's another way of saying that. That means it's overwhelming everything. Everything. In that case, what happens? Even when you are doing Vyavaharam, this Purushottama Yoga is working. And as though a pot of nectar is inside. Pot of nectar is inside. Kritakrityata. So, there is nothing else to be known after that. That is why it is mentioned there. Iti guhyatamam shastram. See how Krishna uses the word very, very selectively. Iti guhyatamam shastram. Idam uktam mayanaka. The way the verse is structured, you can observe that. Don't just read the translation and think that's it. Everything. It is like this, that this Shastram is very, very confidential, Krishna is saying. Most confidential. Iti guhyatamam Shastram. Iti guhyatamam Shastram. Idam uktam mayanaka. Idam uktam mayanaka. Edat buddhva buddhimansyal. Krita krityascha bharata. Krita krityascha bharata. You will become intelligent. Buddhiman, Buddhiman, he says here. Buddhiman Syal, you will become intelligent. Not that you were intelligent. When you get this knowledge, you will become intelligent. Buddhiman Syal, you will become intelligent. And what else? Krita Krityascha Bharata, you feel total satisfaction that, of course, you don't exist anymore after that. You has gone. And that realization that perfection has come. And that is why Purushottama Yoga. That is why it's called Purushottama Yoga. So, there finishes this chapter. 20 verses, lot to think about. lot to learn from this. And you can see this verse, this chapter, many things Krishna has spoken and make us aware of the importance of the soul. Importance of the soul. It is nice to go through this because again and again this chapter will make us aware what Krishna is trying to tell us, isn't it? We have seen the 13th chapter, Kshetra Kshetrajna Vibhaga Yoga, is it not? There Krishna spoke in one way, presented this truth. And in the 14th chapter, where Krishna talked about the three modes of material nature, another aspect of this, is it not? And in the 15th chapter, this one, Krishna spoke about the Purushottama Yoga. So in three chapters, same topic covered in three different ways. Krishna spoke about that. So that is what this verse is talking about. And before we go into the 16th chapter, few things forgot to mention there. That earlier Krishna, remember, talked about Ashwatha tree. Said that Aksharadabhi, Krishna says, Yasmat Kshaaram Atitoham, the 18th verse, going back to that. Yasmat Kshaaram Atitoham Aksharadabhi Jottama Atosmi Loke Vedeja Pratitha Purushottama. That's the verse we discussed on Sunday. So Krishna mentions there that Ashwatha Vriksham, that in the 13th chapter, which is nothing but Maya's manifestation, material existence, in other words, samsara. It was compared to a tree, isn't it? In that 13th chapter, it was compared to a tree. And this Purushottama Yogam is superior to the Akshara Purusha. There you can see Samsara Vriksham, the cause of that is Akshara Purusha. It starts from there. Akshara Purusha is what is referred to as the basis. But Purushottama realization is even the cause of Akshara Purusha. Akshara Purusha is also coming from the Purushottama realization. So, because Purushottama is superior to Akshara Purusha, Akshara Purusha is superior to Prakriti, Ashwatha tree, Samsara Vriksham. Here Krishna is saying, I am addressed as Purushottama in the Vedam as well as in the Smriti also, and the devotees also calls me. Yo mam eva samuda. If one who knows this in that way, janadi Purushottamam sa sarvavid bhajadimam sarva bhavena bharata. Krishna is saying here that in order to asammodho, to come to that state of release, Ishwaram yathukta visheshanam evam asammodha sammoha varjidaha san janati ayam asmi iti Purushottamam. That means first thing, all the illusion must go from inside. Lot of illusions we have in us, isn't it? That is all the problem is. Krishna talks about this word moham. You must have heard this. Sarva moham, moham. He keeps saying moham. In many places before, you would have come across that word moham. Second chapter also. Krishna says about this word moham. See, samoha varjidam. So, till that illusion goes away from inside, he says that this realization is difficult to happen. Difficult to happen. And he says, Asmina Bhagavad Tattva Jnanam Mokshabalam Uktva Ada Idanim Tat Saudi. So, knowing this Bhagavad Tattvam, you remember earlier in the Krishna talked about Janma Karmajame Divyam Evam Yo Veti Tattvada Tektva Deham Punar Janmam Neidi Mamedi Sorjuna. There is a verse, you know that. Have you looked at that verse in the Bhagavad Gita? It's a very, very difficult verse for most of the people to understand. Understand means to comprehend with that. People ask this question, what does that mean? I don't know whether you have asked that question. All it says is, Janma Karma Jame Divyam, it says like this, one who understands my appearance, my activities, karmam, tatvada, in truth, इति तत्त्वदा त्यक्त्वा देहं पुनर्जन्मं वन्स ही गिव्स अप हिज बॉडी नैधि मामेधि सर्जना ही कम्स बैक टू मी ही डजंट टेक बर्थ अगेन लेट्स रीड दैट वर्ड सो दैट लेट्स गेट इट क्लैरिफाई हियर इटसेल्फ इफ यू लुक एट इट आई थिंक इट इज इन द थर्ड चैप्टर इजंट इट or 4 9 see that verse and read through that verse and see how that verse is janma karma cha me divyam evam yo veti tatvada tiktva deham punarjanmam neiti mameti sarjuna what's the translation one who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not upon leaving the body take his birth again in this material world but attains my eternal abode o arjuna now you read that verse and you start thinking knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities what does that mean transcendental nature of my appearance we all accept krishna is transcendental and he has appeared in this world So I have understood that now, but that means I don't have to come back again. Can you say that? No, you can't say that. What that verse is saying is that janmam karma cha me divyam evam yo veti tattvata. That tattvata is the most important word there. Tattvata means proper in tattvam. You have to understand that is this purushottama yogam understanding. If you have come to Purushottama Yogam way of understanding Krishna, then Krishna's appearance we will understand properly what it means. Krishna, you will understand all Krishna's activities and pastimes, everything. You will understand completely in a different level, not the way we understand now. That's what it is referring to. That means without Purushottama Yogam understanding, this will not happen. In that state, if you give up the body, Nedi Ma Medi Sarjuna, you will not come back again. This is the actual understanding of that verse. Otherwise, it makes any sense, no sense at all. This verse. Janma Karma Chame Divyam Evam Yo Veti Tattvada. That Tattvada is important. Tattvada is this Tattvam what Krishna has spoken in this chapter. Idam Gukhyatamam Shastram. That is the Tattvam. That Shastram is the Tattvam. What is that Shastram? Purushottama Yogam. That means Purushottama Yogam, one has to, you cannot understand. Tattvam is not understanding, Tattvam for realization. If you have realized Purushottama Yogam in that way, then Krishna is saying there that Janma Karma Chame Divyam Evam Yo Veti Tattvada. In that one word, Krishna has covered the whole Purushottama Yogam. This is Bhagavad Gita. This is how Bhagavad Gita is. See how complex it is. In that one word, Tattvada, Krishna has covered the whole of Purushottama Yoga there. Translation, the whole thing is lost. It's difficult to get to the translation. What is the translation? In truth. It says, you start thinking, what is the truth? It remains a mystery only, isn't it? So, if you have realized it in that way, Purushottama Yoga, Krishna is saying here, then you will know my janmam, then you will know what is Krishna then. One who has no birth, you are giving birth to him. One who has no death, you are giving death to him. One who has no activities, you are giving all activities to him. So to get rid of all this jnanam from inside is not easy. In this creation, what exists is only Krishna. Nothing else is existing here. So who is doing what here? Nobody is doing anything here. And this realization has to happen at a much later date. It's not going to happen today. So that is why it is said, Janma Karma Jami Divyam. All my activities are very, very divine. It's not easy to understand. But you will understand, Evam Yo Veti Tattvada. When Tattvada has happened, Tattvam has properly manifested inside. Then Tektva Deham Punar Janmam. Then you give up the body. Nedi Mamedi Sarjuna. Then for him there is no coming and going either. It's also finished with that. Coming going is when you are having all the other things, isn't it? But coming going finishes. That is otherwise it will contradict Bhagavadam. Bhagavadam is saying, Gunasya Name Mokshona Bandhanam. There is no bandham, there is no moksha. It is all state of consciousness, how you accept this in different way. isn't it? So many things you have to connect it together, and then you can see that what Krishna is saying is this, that the Bhagavad Gita is a message. It is not a textbook. It's a message. And that message you have to capture whichever way, through whichever chapter, bringing both back and forth everything what's necessary. That's the way that message comes out to us. So it is in that state, Krishna mentions here, that finally, after saying that if you know this tattvam, asmin adhyaye bhagaval tattva jnanam moksha bhalam uktva, the result is moksham, liberation from that. Idanim tat staudi. Saying that, again Krishna is glorifying, the knowledge he is glorifying. He's not glorifying himself. He's not glorifying us. He's glorifying the knowledge. The power of that knowledge. Krishna is never satisfied talking about it. To inject this into our head, that somehow or the other let us get into it. He says, Ida guhya damam shastram, ida muktam bhayanaka, edal buddhva buddhiman syal, kritakrityascha bharata. The result of this chapter is Krishna saying that guhya damam, most confidential it is, because it's for only for realization. Idam uktam bhayanaka, but it has been spoken in this way from time immemorial, this verse. Edat buddhva buddhiman syal. If this knowledge gets in realization, then he is the most intelligent person. He has got it. He is intelligent. Not by any other way. Kritakrityascha bharata. And he is totally satisfied then. There is more hankering or lamentation for anything else. Iti edat guhyadamam gopyadamam atyanda rahasyam. Iti edat kim tad shastram. Because this is the most confidential thing. So actually, Bhagavad Gita's whole thing is a shastram it is. When you say it's a shastra, what's the difference between a shastram and a normal book, Puranam? Shastra means a particular tattvam is summarized in such a way and it will reveal the truth to you if you have got it. That is what it is. That is why it's called a shastram. Shastram means it will reveal the truth to you if you get it. You have got the truth. You got the truth. Gitakhyam shastram. So, it has been spoken as such, although it is spoken in the Mahabharatam. Mahabharatam is a history book, like, isn't it? It's a history of the Kauravas and the Pandavas, years of history that is spoken. Right in the middle of Mahabharatam, in the Shanti Parvam, Bhagavad Gita was brought in. A shastram was put in there, isn't it? Why was it spoken as a shastram? In order to glorify that, the greatness of this knowledge. So, all what is to be known through the Vedam is there in the Bhagavad Gita. And one who knows Bhagavad Gita, one who has realized it, he has realized the Vedam also. Idam uktam kaditam maya he anaka apapaha. Edat shastram yadadar shidartham buddhva buddhimansyal bhavetna anyada kratakritya bharata. So, one who has, Krishna is saying, this shastram, one who has realized it, understood and then realized it, he becomes a jnani. He becomes a jnani. Kritakrityada. Kritakrityam kartavyam yena sa kritakrityaha. Vishishta janma prasudena brahmanena yal kartavyam tat sarvam bhagaval tattvi vidide kritam bhaved ityartaha. Naja anyatha kartavyam parisamapyade kasyajal idi avipraya. Kartavya means kritakrityada. Kartavya means what is one's responsibility in life. What we call as a duty. Duty is not anything else. Duty is self-realization. That is the actual duty. Duty, isn't it? So, one who has done that, he is kritakrityada. What Krishna calls it as. So, particularly, it mentions here, Vishishta janma prasudena brahmanena yat kartavyam. One who has particularly taken the birth of a brahmana, he has this responsibility to know the tattvam. In that body, it is meant for that. Otherwise, it is difficult. Sarvam karmagilam partha jnane parisamapyade. Earlier, in the fourth chapter, Krishna mentions like that. Sarvam karmagilam partha jnane parisamapyade. All karmam finishes in jnanam, knowledge of the self. ఏదద్ హి జన్మ సాబల్యం బ్రాహ్మణస్య విశేషత ప్రాప్యేదద్ కృకృత్యో హి ద్విజో భవతి నాణ్యత ఇది చ మానవం వచనం. సో ఏదద్ పరమార్థతత్వం మత్త శుతవాన్ అసి తద కృతార్థత్వం భారత ఇతి. సో వాట్ యు హావ్ హెర్డ్ ఫ్రమ్ మీ, కృష్ణ సేస్ టు అర్జున, యు హావ్ హెర్డ్ దట్ అండ్ వి బికమ్ కృతకృత్యత. సో వేదవ్యాస మహర్షి ఇన్ మహాభారతం ఇన్ భీష్మ పర్వం this brahma vidya of this yoga shastram upanishadsu brahma vidyayam yoga shastre shri krishna arjuna samvade krishna and arjuna conversing each other this purushottama yogam was spoken. That is how it comes to an end. So we'll have a break and then conclude after that. Start. హరే కృష్ణ హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ హరే రామ రామ హరే హరే, హరే కృష్ణ హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే, హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే, కృష్ణ హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే. చేదోదర్పణమర్జనం వో మహాదావాగ్ని నిర్వాపణం శ్రేయకైతవ చంద్రికా వితరణం విద్యావధూ జీవనం ఆనందాంబుదివర్ధనం పూర్ణామృతాస్వాదనం సర్వాత్మాస్వనం పరం విజయదే శ్రీకృష్ణ సంకీర్తనం నామకారి బహుదా నిజ సర్వశక్తి తత్రార్పితా నిమిదా స్మరణేన కాలాం ఏదాదృశీ తవ కృపా భగవన్ మమావి దుర్దైవమీదృశమిహాజని నానురాగాః తృణారభిషునీచేన తరోరపి సహిష్ణునా అమానినా మానదేన కీర్తనీయ సదా హరి. నథనం న జనం న సుందరీం కవితాం వా జగదీశ కామయే మమ జన్మని జన్మనీశ్వరీ భవదాద్ భక్తిరహేతుకి త్వయి ఐనందనుజ కింకరం పతితా మాంషమే భవాంబుదౌ కృపయా తవ పాద పంకజ స్థిత ధూళీ సదృశం విచింతయాం. మంగళదశ్రుధారయా వదనం గద్గదరుద్ధయా గిరా పులగైర్నిచితం కదా వభూతవం నామ గ్రహణే భవిష్యతి. ఇదం నిమేషేణ చక్షుషా ప్రావిశాయిదం శూన్యాయిదం జగల్ సర్వం గోవింద విరహేణ మే అశ్లిష్య వా పాదరదాం భినష్టు మాం అదర్శనాం మర్మహదాం కరోతు వా యథా తదా వా విదదా దులంబనో మత్ ప్రాణనాథాస్తు నేహనాపరాం. సో ఐ థింక్ వి హావ్ ఓన్లీ హాఫ్ ఎన్ అవర్. సో వాట్ విల్ డూ, విల్ స్టార్ట్ ది నెక్స్ట్ చాప్టర్ టుమారో, which is the 16th chapter. And there is a long introduction necessary for that chapter also. Like we saw this chapter, 15th chapter. 16th chapter is Deva Asura Sambad Vibhaga Yogam. It is called the Divine and the Demonic Nature. That is the translation for that verse, isn't it? Divine and the Demonic Nature. But what is this divine nature? What is this demonic nature? That requires a lot of discussion about that. So we'll start that tomorrow. We'll have a kirtan till 5 o'clock now. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.